Why is it so important for Christians to have a quiet time? Listen to Adrian Rogers.
Christianity is a love relationship. You cannot love someone that you do not know. And you cannot know someone that you don't spend quality time with. To know him is to love him. To love him is to trust him. To trust him is to obey him. And to obey him is to be blessed.
Welcome to Love Worth Finding. As we just heard from pastor, teacher, and author Adrian Rogers, if we want to become more like Christ, it's crucial to spend quality time with him and in his word. Do you begin your days with a meaningful quiet time? When you read God's word, does it speak to you in new and fresh ways? Pastor Rogers explained, "The mark of your prayer life is not how well you pray in public, but in private. Your Father who sees you in secret will reward you openly." If you have your Bible, find Psalm 119, verse 97, as Adrian Rogers reveals how to have a meaningful quiet time.
Would you take God's word and find, please, Psalm 119. I want to begin reading in verse 97. "Oh, how love I thy law! It is my meditation all the day. Thou, through thy commandments, hast made me wiser than mine enemies. For they," that is, my enemies, "are ever with me. I have more understanding than all my teachers. For thy testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the ancients, because I keep thy precepts. I have refrained my feet from every evil way, that I might keep thy word. I have not departed from thy judgments, for thou hast taught me. How sweet are thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Through thy precepts I get understanding. Therefore, I hate every false way." Christianity is not a legal relationship. It is a love relationship. You need to spend time with Jesus Christ. Christianity is a love relationship. And it begins with a quality, quiet time, a daily communication with the Lord. First of all, you must have a proper period. That is the right time. When should you have your quiet time? Here are two keys. Number one, it should be the very best time. And number two, it should be early in the day. Now, don't give the Lord the leftovers. Give him the very best time. And that best time should be sometime in the morning. Ask God when that time is and don't try to find it. Make it. And you'll make it as a matter of priority. Now, here's the second thing. Not only must you have the proper period, but you must have the proper preparation. And the three things that will prepare you for a quiet time. Number one, you must be physically alert. Find a time when the cobwebs are out of your mind, when you can think clearly, when your juices are flowing in your body, physically alert. Number two, and this is very important, you must be morally pure and clean to have a quiet time. Do you know what quiet time is? Quiet time is fellowship with a holy God. The reason that some folks don't have a quiet time is they feel uncomfortable. And the reason they feel uncomfortable is they don't want to look God in the face. And the reason they don't want to look God in the face is there's sin in their life. So what is the proper preparation? You're physically alert, you're morally pure, you are thirdly, mentally aware. Be tough-minded. Say, "I'm coming, Lord," and emotion doesn't really have all that much to do with it. It's good to feel juicy when you pray, but you don't have to. Now here's a third thing if you would have a good quiet time, a meaningful quiet time. There must be the proper place. Now, what is the proper place? Jesus said, when you pray, enter into your closet and pray. Now, he did not mean the clothes closet. As you study the life of Jesus, you find out that Jesus was not always in a literal closet, but you will find out that Jesus would seek to be alone. Sometimes he'd go out into a mountain. Sometimes he went into the wilderness. Sometimes he went into a garden. You see, it is the secret place that is the sacred place. Now, when I say the secret place, I don't mean a place that no one else knows about. I simply mean a place where you are there alone with the Lord. My suggestion is that it be well lighted and well ventilated. Why is the Lord saying, enter into your closet and pray? Well, number one, what you are when you're alone is really what you are. The mark of your prayer life is not really how well you pray in public, but in private, isn't it? Your Father who sees you in secret will reward you openly. Now, that's one reason, just to keep us from being hypocrites. But another reason that you go to the secret place is to avoid distractions, visual distractions and noises, audible distractions and people who come in. And so, have the proper period. In the morning will I direct my prayer unto thee and will look up. Have the proper preparation physically, morally, mentally. Be prepared. Find a proper place. Get some place. That is the place that you're accustomed to going. My place, I'm blessed in that I have my study at my house, and I love that. It's a blessing to me. Most people don't have that, but I have that. I do my work there. When I'm there, I can go into my study. My books are there. My desk is there. I have my materials out there, and that's a blessing to me. And granted, many people don't have a place like that. My wife has a place where she gets up and goes around. There's a hallway that connects our garage to our living room, and we have some books out there, and there's a little nook out there. And that's the place that she retires to be alone with God. And it's her special place. But find a place. Pray and ask God to give you a place. It just may be your bedroom. It may be if you've got a lot of children in the house, you may have to go to the bathroom and lock the door, whatever. But find a special place to get alone with God. Now, here's the fourth thing. Not only should there be a proper place, but you need to have the proper provisions. You need to have the right tools. And these are going to include, first of all, a readable Bible. Now, don't get a small print Bible. Invest in a Bible. A good Bible with good print and wide margins and good paper, something that you can write in and make notes in. And don't be afraid to write in your Bible and make notes in your Bible. Wear it out and get another one. But don't throw the old one away. Save it and keep it and look back on it sometime. Be like an old friend to you. To me, it would be almost unthinkable to think that I would read without a pen in my hand. Almost unthinkable. I mean, I instinctively, when I reach for the Bible, reach for a pen. Why? Expect God to give you something. You say, well, that's all right, Pastor. I've got a good memory. I'll remember it. Who are you kidding? I have a fair memory. But I want to tell you folks that it is better to write it down. It impresses it in your mind, and the weakest ink is better than the best memory. Write it down in your journal. You expect God to give you something. Not only should you have a journal where you keep thoughts, but you need a companion, which is a prayer journal. And then a third thing that you need, and this doesn't need to be a piece that you keep all the time, but just keep a little notepad there to write down things that you need to do during the day. Just your daily assignment. And those things will come to your mind as you pray, or come to your mind before you pray so you can pray for them. What you're doing when you come to the prayer time is reporting for duty and asking God to show you what He wants you to do that particular day, and also pleading for power to do what He wants you to do. So they're the proper provisions. The Bible, the devotional journal, the prayer journal, and a note reminder of things to do. This is your quiet time. You're not even here preparing your Sunday school lesson. You're not here preparing a sermon, per se. You're just here to meet with the Lord. Now, number five, a proper procedure. What is the proper procedure? Now, you're walking into the place. It's your best time. You are physically alert. You're morally pure. You're mentally aware. You've come. You've shut out distractions. You're in there with God. You're ready. All right, now, what do you do? What procedure do you take? May I recommend that the very first thing you do is just to get still and get quiet. You know, the Bible says, be still and know that I am the Lord. Just fix and focus your mind on Him. Calm down. Relax. Recognize His presence. Be still and know that I am God. If you think about what's happening, you are having a private interview with the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, you need to think about that. Let your mind dwell on the fact that Jesus is there with you. I mean, to be alone with the Lord Jesus Christ, to sup with Him and He with me. That's what He has invited us to do. And we need to fix our minds and focus our minds on the gift, the privilege. For the Lord Jesus said, lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. So, number one, just get quiet. Take a deep breath. Focus your thoughts on the Lord. Now, next, get into the Word of God. It's better to start reading the Bible than to start in prayer. Don't pray first and then read the Word. Read the Word first and then pray. It is more important for you to hear from God even than for God to hear from you. Because God already knows all about you, but you need to know a lot more about Him. So you start, first of all, reading the Word of God. That will tune your heart and get your heart ready to pray. You hear God and then talk to God, and prayer, a quiet time, is a time alone with God where you hear from God and God hears from you. Now, when you read the Bible, read for quality and not quantity. Don't see how much of the Bible you can read. Now, a lot of people have a goal to read the Bible through in a year, read the Bible through in 6 months. That's wonderful. Do that. But that's not your quiet time. I mean, if you're not careful, you'll be pushing ahead when you ought not to be pushing ahead. Sometimes you might spend a morning on one verse. Stop and think as you're reading the Word of God, what is God telling me? Not what does this say? Of course it says something. Of course it's the Word of God. But what is God saying to me? To me. Not what does God want me to tell somebody? Not what am I going to teach in Sunday school? What is God saying to me? So read it very thoughtfully. Now, of course, read the Bible like you would read any other book in one sense of the word. You don't just pick up a book and just open it up at random and start reading in the middle of a paragraph and then say, well, this book doesn't make sense to me. That's why a lot of people read the Bible, just kind of a lucky dip. I mean, there it is. No. Read it sequentially and read it in paragraphs or units. I mean, use some common sense when you read the Bible. And keep your Bible reading balanced. Read from the Old Testament and read from the New Testament. Read regularly from the Psalms. Because when you read the Psalms, you learn to worship and you get encouragement. Read regularly from the book of Proverbs. Because from the book of Proverbs, you'll get wisdom. And then read balanced reading in the rest of the Bible. Now, what about having devotional books? Well, devotional books are wonderful. But even now, this is not the place for this. This is a place where you just open the Bible and read intelligently, sequentially, with an open mind, a readable Bible, to let God speak to you. All right? So, get quiet, focus your mind on the Lord, begin to read the Word of God, and then meditate on it. Meditate on it. Think about it. I don't mean mystical meditation. Those people assume that the answer is within them. But the answer is not. You focus on the Word of God, and you meditate on the Word of God, and let the Word of God permeate you. Just think about it, meditate on it. Now, I have given you many times these questions to ask as you meditate on the Word of God. And if you're a teacher or a preacher or anybody else and you're trying to get up a sermon, or you just simply are a lesson, or you want a blessing out of the Word of God, you can ask these questions with a clean heart and the Bible will burst a flame. Here they are. Jot them down. Number one, is there a command to obey? Number two, is there a promise to claim? Number three, is there a sin to avoid? Four, is there a lesson to learn? Five, is there a new truth to carry with me? I just simply take those questions. There may be others. I used to have those questions recorded in the flyleaf of a Bible, and I would refer to them often. It's amazing. Let me give them to you again in case you did not get them all. Is there a command to obey, a promise to claim, a sin to avoid, a lesson to learn, a new truth to carry with me? So prepare your heart, get into the Word of God, meditate on the Word of God, and then record what God has given you. This is where the prayer journal comes in. Write it down. It doesn't have to be flowery. You're not writing it for publication. You're not writing it to impress other people. Make it intensely personal. But once you do this, you'll find yourself sharing it with other people. I mean, when you do this, you will be wanting to share the nuggets that God has given you, and that'll make you a blessing to be around. You'll have a wealth of material for lessons and devotions, though that's not even your purpose in doing it. At the same time, take that notepad and write down the things that you need to do. Action points. This is the one that may be just for the day. Obligations and goals and decisions that come out of that time. Now you're ready to pray. Pray it in. And when you pray, pour out your soul. Be natural. Don't try to use flowery language when you pray. Jesus said, don't use vain repetition. You're not heard for your much speaking. Be honest with God. Tell Him how you feel. He already knows. Tell Him. Be honest. This is a time, from time to time, you refer to your prayer journal. Continuing burdens in prayer. People that you're praying for. Answers to prayer. Pray out loud. Pray audibly. If you just try to pray silently, and you have to pray silently sometimes if you're in a crowd, but when you're alone, pray audibly. Why? It keeps your mind on track. It enables you to stay focused. Try to make complete sentences. Try to use good English when you pray. I'm not talking about King James English. I'm just simply saying that you're speaking to God. Speak clearly. Speak plainly. Think about what you are saying when you pray. And don't rush your prayer, but don't draw it out. I mean, when you finish, quit. Pray as long as you have a concern on your heart. Don't just keep repeating things like you're going to impress God with the number of words that you say. What about when you pray and your mind wanders? Why? Well, two reasons. Number one, it may be an attack of the devil, and if you sense it's an attack of the devil, rebuke the devil. But number two, it may be that something is coming to your heart. You're praying over here, but your real need and your real desire and your subconscious is saying, this is what I'm concerned about, my meeting this afternoon, and your mind goes to that. How do you deal with that? Just leave this thing and go over there and pray about that thing. That thing that's caused your mind to wander, well, then pray about it. Tell God about it. Talk to God about it, and then you're done with it. But until you deal with it, it'll just keep coming back again. Have that time where you tell God the concern of your heart, and then go back to the other praying. Now, after you've done this, begin to share out of your quiet time with one another. We ought to meet people and exhort one another. You see, God did not make us to be reservoirs. God made us to be conduits. All right, now what have we said? Number one, get still and know He's God. Number two, get into the Word of God. Number three, meditate on the Word of God and ask those questions. Number four, write down what we've learned. Then number five, pray it in, be natural, pray our hearts out to God. Number six, share what we've learned. And now listen. Obey what God tells you. That's the seventh thing we're talking now about, this proper procedure. Obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way. Now, your spiritual train is going to run on two rails. One is revelation, and the other is obedience. Revelation and obedience. And if either rail stops, your train stops. Learn to obey the Word of God. And when you fail, confess it. Now you say, Pastor, if I begin to do this, how soon will it be before I'll see a change in my life? Well, I don't know. You'll see some change, I believe, right away. But don't expect anything radical and dramatic. But if you get on a regimen of obeying the Word of God, getting into the Word of God, and feeding your soul, the change will not be spasmodic, and it may not be dramatic, but on the long run, it will change you for eternity. We need to have a quality, quiet time. Father, seal the message to our hearts and help us to learn, dear Lord, how to have a quality, quiet time. In Jesus' wonderful name, amen.
Amen. What an encouraging and a challenging message for us today from God's Word. You know, at Love Worth Finding, it's a great honor for us to be able to come alongside you and pray with you and for you. Maybe as you've listened, a prayer request has surfaced in your heart. Go to our website and scroll down to the prayer wall. There you'll find the option to submit a prayer request or pray for others. This resource is one of our favorite ways to keep the ministry and the community praying continually for one another's needs. Go to lwf.org/radio and scroll down to our prayer wall today. Now, if you'd like to order a copy of this message in its entirety, call us at 1-877-LOVE-GOD and mention the title, How to Have a Meaningful Quiet Time. This message is also part of the powerful series, Cultivating a Deeper Faith, How to Strengthen Your Spiritual Life. For that complete six-message collection, call 877-LOVE-GOD, or you can order online at lwf.org/radio, or write us at Love Worth Finding, Box 38600, Memphis, Tennessee, 38183. Well, thanks for studying in God's Word with us today and this practical message. Is your quiet time with God meaningful to you? Have you properly prepared and set yourself up for a fruitful time with Him? Consider these steps that you've heard today and talk to God. And be sure to tune in next time for more timeless truths from Pastor Rogers, right here on Love Worth Finding. A young listener reached out recently and sent this letter. Here's just a couple of sentences. Lately, I have had a burning desire to know God more, and through people like Pastor Rogers, He has made it possible. Thank you, and God bless you. Well, at Love Worth Finding, our mission is to draw people of all ages to Jesus and help believers grow deeper in their faith. And to thank you for your gift of support right now, which helps us do that, we want to send you a copy of the book, Believe in Miracles, but Trust in Jesus. When we think about miracles in Scripture, we need to remember their purpose is we're to deepen our trust in Him, not in our trust in the miracles themselves. This book will change the way you view God and His work in your life and show you how the seven miracles highlighted in the book of John are relevant to you today. Request this resource when you call with a gift at 1-877-LOVE-GOD.